buddy from Dog Nation and AJC.com. He is Mike Griffith. And Mike, happy new year to you. Mike and I have been discussing the blunders, in our opinion, last night. So I want to kind of go through some of this with you and obviously get your feel for it. I thought going forward on fourth and two at your own 33-yard line, mistake. Well, Kirby says afterwards that the ball should not have been snapped in that situation. Tell me what your thought is about this play and how it played out, because Gunnar Stockton fumbles. It was doomed from the start.
Yeah, well, the key was you saw Monroe Freeling, the left tackle, didn't look like he was going to block. So you had an this is where the Drew Bobo injury caught up with you, right?
Right.
Didn't catch up with you against Alabama. You know, you got through the Texas game, got through Georgia Tech, but, you know, you got an inexperienced guy there, you know, that has a moment. And, you know, it costs you. And, look, this is the takeaway. And it's taken me some time, and obviously I write about this and do this for a living, so I kind of obsess over these things. The better team won. And that's you're like, wait a minute, what do you mean? They beat Ole Miss during the regular season. Ole Miss has got a guy coaching his second game. This is Kirby Smart. This is Kirby who's won 53 in a row when leading at halftime, and he's won 75 in a row when he leads in there in the fourth quarter, and they got that G on that. Look, hey, let's slow down. Let's check ourselves here. The team that had a first-year starting quarterback, the team that had four new starters on the offensive line, is a team that lost five guys out of their front seven, including two first-round draft picks. This is a team that lost an All-American safety. This is a team that was playing without their most elite pass rusher, Gabe Harris. It's a team that was playing out with best offensive lineman, Drew Bobo. It's a team that had a safety, starting safety, ejected at probably the weakest position to begin with. And all they did all year was pull stuff out of their butt.
Right.
This was not 2021 and 2022, guys. This is a team that found a way. This was a team that put it all together, exercised the demons against Alabama, and we were drinking the Kool-Aid, but Kirby Smart knew, and he said it. I should have listened. I remember how I told you he always speaks between the lines.
Right.
He said in a press conference, there's the way he looks at it. He doesn't look at where you feed. He looks at, did you get everything out of the team? He said he learned that from Bobby Bowden. He learned it from his dad. Georgia got everything out of this team. This is who they were. They gave you their best. Ole Miss was better. Look, Trinidad Chambliss, love me some Gunnar Stockton. How can you not? He's been Mr. Clutch all year, right? Trinidad Chambliss is a dude. Did you see how he put the ball downfield? And, oh, by the way, they got three or four guys that can run by you. Georgia ain't got nobody in the receiving corps that can run by you. Ole Miss has the 1,000-yard rusher. Lacy Frazier's not as good as him. He's not as good. Ole Miss was better at quarterback. Ole Miss was better at running back. Ole Miss is deeper at wide receiver. In this particular game, they won the line of scrimmage. So should we really be surprised at the – because here's what happened. Ole Miss went out last year and used their NIL money and signed a bunch of free agents, okay? So they got guys that, boom, we're going to help you now. Okay, well, what's going to happen when the music stops this year?
Right.
What do they got coming back? How many of those guys are headed to LSU? They got to reload. We Ole Miss could be 6-6 next year. We have no idea. What's Chambliss going to do? Can they get the same kind of talent out of the portal? But Georgia played the long game. They invested in a lot of freshmen who weren't quite ready. Talon Taylor, Wiley, these guys didn't do anything for you this year. They didn't do nothing. And they're talented, but you had to spend some money on those kids. So you chose to spend money on a few kids at receiver, none of them that really helped you that much. Elias Williams looked pretty in a couple games, but he didn't really do anything. Barbour got hurt. You spent money on a lot of young kids instead of going in the portal and getting a couple of elite receivers. And guess what? It cost you. Now, long term, Georgia's going to be back in the playoffs next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. They had to do this year. There wasn't much of a margin for error, and they had to win while they were growing. And that's what they did, and they played astoundingly well. But sooner or later, it catches up to you. And Ole Miss played inspired football, and Trinidad Chambliss right now, I think, is playing better quarterback than anybody, including Mendoza. Alabama didn't offer much resistance. We'll find out more about Mendoza when he goes up against Oregon for a second time and Dan Lanning in Atlanta next week. It's going to be a hell of a game. But you ran up against an inspired team that was better than you at the skill positions. And, you know, you made it, like you said, there was some costly mistakes that are un-Kirby-like, right? The kid snapping the ball when he's not supposed to, case in point. Or the management, you know, once you got the first and goal at the eight, you know, you know, Gunner runs it down to the three, you got a second and goal at the three. You're trying to run clock. Ole Miss is calling timeouts. Worst case scenario, you're thinking they're going to go to overtime, but Kirby says, no, we're playing to win. And but here's the only mistake I'd say about that. I don't even mind Kirby throwing it on third down when I gave it more thought. If he truly believed that, because if we're all going to be honest here, Ole Miss was going to win that game in overtime. Trinidad Chambliss was playing better. They had more options.
That's why they ran the fake punt. That's why they ran the fake punt. They were losing momentum in a big way.
That's right. And that was a hell of a call. But the only screw up here was you're going to win and lose with your best player. Some way or another, you got to have a play for Branch there. That's your dude. That's your guy. That's your ride or die. Yeah. He got you there. Hey. I don't care if there's three guys on him. Find a way. You got to give that guy the opportunity. That's really the only thing I can say. Other than that, Georgia played their cards, man. And then here's the underlying reality for the Georgia fans. The 100 of them I talked to at the airport today. You know, it couldn't get. You don't think it could have got worse? Hey, man, let me tell you something. Carson Beck in Miami, they might have beat your ass in Arizona. Miami's playing pretty good football, guys. That'd have been a sad ending. You losing to Ole Miss in a last-second fashion, and it's an SEC. Look, you played your best. It wasn't quite. You go out there, and Miami puts one on you, because if Ole Miss is beating you at the line of scrimmage, Miami's going to dominate you. And if you don't believe me, go back and look what Miami did to Florida and look at how Georgia struggled with Florida.
It is Mike Griffith, guys, from Dog Nation, the AJC, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, doing the postmortem on Georgia for 2025. We knew the defense was going to take their lumps. No pass rush. That was a big part of it. Couldn't get Chambliss on the ground. He was a rock star. But I just want to ask you one thing. We talked about this earlier, Mike. I want to get your take. I understand last year Gunnar Stockton, his first start against Notre Dame, they put him in a tough spot, and he turned it over. Was the fear of that why you sat on it a minute 43? Go down the field. You're Georgia. I thought going into a shell up nine is part of the reason why they lost this game. I think you got to keep the pedal to the metal. I thought that was weak sauce.
Yeah, you know, I think that the Georgia offense is predicated on what the defense does. And we can and will say what we want about Pete Golding. I mean, this guy's got lightning rod written all over him. You know, if you haven't heard one of his press conferences, you know, have the 3-second pause ready, because his initials PG are very apt. You know, you may be offended by the language. This guy shoots from the hip. He rock and roll. If as long as he's winning, it's going to be fun. If he starts losing, they're going to fire him. But the dude has his team playing right now, and he is a former defensive coordinator, and he doesn't have Lane Kiffin over there trying to run up stats and, you know, get the next date on his cell phone. He's focused in on defense, and he made some nice adjustments, and they did a really nice self-scout. You know, they played Georgia earlier this year. They knew what they needed to do, and they did, and all you got to do is look at Gunner's numbers. They prevented Gunner Stockton from doing Gunner Stockton things. They contained him. They said, you know what? If we can just keep this little number one under wraps, he's going to get his catches, and he did. He had eight of them for 67 yards and a couple fantastic third down conversions and a fourth down. But if we can keep number one under wraps and we can stop Gunner from beating us with his legs, we don't think anybody else is going to beat us. And they didn't. Good coaching by Pete Golden.
Was this the first time in a long time where we saw Kirby maybe try to overcoach in a game?
Well, I don't know about overcoaching. Like I said, I think Kirby, this is going to sound crazy. I think Georgia did a hell of a job to be ahead 21-12. Part of that was Ole Miss self-destruction, poor clock management at the end of the first half. Part of it was a scoop and score. You know, that's the first fumble of Lacey's career. That's an outlier, you know?
Right.
So part of it was a couple of outlier plays. Like Golding said, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the scheme. Just had to execute. And, you know, like I said, Kirby ran the fake punt. Kirby's defense made a play, got him a touchdown. I don't think he overcoached. I would just say that the thing that Georgia fans have to come to grips with is that their best isn't good enough. Some years it's going to be like that. Again,
with the parity and everything else.
Had the previous when Kirby had the previous system in place, and there was none of this NIL and guys transferring from one year to the next, he built the best college football program in the game. He won back-to-back titles in the college football playoff era. No one had ever done that. He had 15 guys drafted. No one had ever done that. Now the model's changed, and Kirby's trying to build something, you know, on concrete, not sand. You know, Georgia doesn't want to be in the position where they're signing free agents every year.
Right.
I mean, take a look at the four teams that are left. You know, Indiana, look at how transfer heavy they are. I mean, what, 12 guys from James Madison? Where's Indiana? Let's be honest here. If Indiana football was a stock, are you buying it? You think they're going to be good in 5 years? Hell no. You know, Oregon's got Nike money. Okay, Texas Tech's got the $25 billion oil guy, gave them a lot of money, played in a bad conference. And Miami has got free agent money and is starting to look like the Miami they were at the start of the year. But where's Ohio State right now? Hey, how'd you like to be Alabama? Do you think Kalen DeBoer might want to call Michigan back and say, is it too late, guys?
Yeah. Right. It's interesting. I think the cost of doing business, to your point, and I was looking at this because I wanted to see what Tech spent, because I had some friends in Texas tell me they spent more than anybody this last year, and it was them and Ohio State. And combined, they spent upwards of $60 million. That's the going rate to get into these games? Is that what you're telling me, Mike Griffith? Is like, hey, you got to spend that kind of money. You got to spend 30-plus to get into these kind of games, not even guaranteeing you a chance to maybe play for the championship.
Look, Kirby's building a Lexus. Those guys are Range Rovers, okay? He's trying to build something that's going to last. He's trying to build something that's going to be low maintenance. He doesn't want the transfer portal window swinging open with 15 to 20 guys a year. He wants to maintain a team chemistry. He wants to grow guys in his program, and he wants to fill holes with free agents. But that's not what these other programs are doing. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the stat, but like 90% of Georgia starters were guys that were recruited by Georgia.
Yes.
Ole Miss, 33% of their starters were recruited by Ole Miss. And that worked out for him this year. Trinidad Chambliss is a tremendous story. You know, the best is basically what happened is the best season in Ole Miss modern era history trumped the Gunnar Stockton story. And it came down to the last minute. Could have gone either way. You know, don't want to pick on the kickers, but one team's kicker was better than the other one. And you know what? That made a difference. So, or Ole Miss had the Lacy fumble outlier. Georgia had the, you know, incorrect snap. It was that close of a game. But, you know, my takeaway, again, is going back and looking at it and realizing that in Georgia's 7 wins this year in the SEC, they had to come from behind in 6 of them.
Right. Shouldn't have won the Tennessee game. That 4th and 15, you know, we talk about that all the time.
No doubt. I think it was a 4th and 6 at the 28. Yeah. But they also had a 4th down in the first quarter.
Right.
You know, so they've had to convert 4th downs. They've had to pull games out all year long. And what happened was our perception changed, and especially the way they dominated Alabama. We said, oh, wow, now, boy, they've really hit it now, the way they dominated Texas. Oh, my gosh, they're on fire. And they were, you know, but Georgia Tech showed us a little something.
So, are you, Mike, just to wrap it up, because you know, a lot of Georgia fans are up on the text line going, you know, look, Kirby's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to win, and now it's 3 years now without a national championship, and fans are greedy. Fair or unfair, the bar has been raised. I mean, I thought, you know, Brian Day did a worse job than Kirby, but both these guys, even in reloading years, they're supposed to be there in the championship game. So, I mean, happens if he doesn't build that Lexus by next year?
Well, hold on. So here's the fallacy. Here's what you just caught yourself saying. And all the SEC coaches, I've been on every SEC teleconference. There was a time when we thought that. But we're in an era now where 9-3 might be a good year because of parity, because there's a free agent, you know, free agent portal every year with unrestricted free agency. And the objective is to get the most out of your team. And you know what? Some years it's going to come together, and some years you're going to be missing your starting center, your premier edge rusher, and your best safety is going to get tossed out of the game, and a backup is going to make a mistake against a red hot team. And that's what happened. I mean, we are now in playoff football, and we have to reprogram our brains, or we're going to drive ourselves crazy into thinking that if the team doesn't win the national title, that the coach isn't doing a good job. Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football, hands down.
He is.
Last night's game does not change that.
No.
He is a program builder, and he is building Georgia to be an annual contender. Some of these other, they're going to come and go because they're going to be going to the portal every year. Every year they're going to have to bring in 10 or 12 guys, and sometimes the chemistry is going to be there, and sometimes 10 of them are going to work out. Some years four of them are going to work out. But Georgia is still building a strong foundation where I'd bet you – I'd bet a pretty good amount they're going to be in the playoff next year and the year after without even knowing who the starters are. I mean, Elijah Griffin forced that fumble. Now, he wasn't a dominator and a first-team All-American, but he's the guy that forced it. You think he's going to get better? I do. You know, some of these guys, they're going to keep getting better and growing. This was a major reload. Again, they lost four starters to the NFL off the offensive line. They lost five of their front seven to the NFL. They lost 16 guys in total to the NFL. They lost an All-American safety. They lost what would have been a third-year starting quarterback. And they still finished as the SEC champions and back-to-back years. And oh, by the way, only four coaches have done that. Philip Fulmer, Steve Spurrier, Kirby Smart, and Nick Saban.
It's a pretty unique company. Mike Griffith, great perspective. We got a lot to talk about with the offseason. Portal is open, man, so we'll be talking to you next week about what that looks like and who's coming, who's going. Appreciate you. Happy New Year, man, and thanks for stopping by.
All right, guys. Have a happy New Year.
You too.